From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. July 21st, 10 in health. The one that made me reread the abstract is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from Scary Mommy. Nothing says joggy bad mom like a kid with a sunburn. You know that feeling when you notice your kid's sunburn and immediately start beating yourself up over it? Like, did you even put sunscreen on them? And did they go in the water too quickly after? It's a common struggle for parents, especially during the summer months. The thing is, even when you do apply sunscreen, it doesn't last long. Swimming, sand, sweat, and rubbing with a towel all wear it off quickly. So you need to reapply regularly, which can be a challenge, especially in public. The guilt spiral that follows a sunburn is real, and it's easy to feel like you're a bad parent when your kid gets burned. But here's the thing. Every mum has had a sunburn moment, and it's not the end of the world. It's okay to make mistakes and try to do better next time. In fact, it's okay to be a little imperfect and still have a great summer with your kids. So grab some aloe vera and move on. A sunburn isn't a badge of honour, but it's not the end of your parenting journey either. Next. Second, from Scary Mommy, Molly Brown House Museum. With kids, a Denver family guide. The Molly Brown House Museum in Denver is a surprisingly kid-friendly historic home. Best for children 6 and up who can appreciate the story of the Titanic survivor. Inside, the rooms are mostly open for exploration, with family guide packets that include tactile items and bilingual printouts, plus a dedicated Titanic room where kids can see a rare letter and play a Would You Have Survived game. You can wander at your own pace or join a guided tour. The free Bloomberg Connect app adds extra content if you want more depth. The main floor is wheelchair accessible, and a lift and video tour cover the lower level for those who can't go upstairs. After the museum, consider a short walk to the Capitol, a visit to the historic Daniels and Fisher Clock Tower for city views, or a snack at Denver Central Market. Easy, family-friendly options to round out the day. Up next. Third, from Healthy Mum Club, how I get the best high-quality sleep. These habits aren't backed by a single trial. They're the consensus of sleep hygiene research and clinical practice, so think of them as solid, low-risk tweaks you can try tonight. Skip big meals or sugary snacks within 2 hours of bedtime. A light protein fat snack like nuts keeps blood sugar steady. Put the phone away at least 30 minutes before sleep, or use blue light blocking glasses so melatonin can rise naturally. A short stretch, a foam roll, or a few pages of reading signals your body it's wind down time. Make the bedroom cool, around 68 degrees, and dark. Blackout curtains or a simple eye mask work well. If you like a ritual, a warm cup of chamomile tea or a mocktail with coconut water and tart cherry juice can be soothing. Give one or two of these a go and see how your night feels. And then. Fourth, from Design Mom, The Odyssey. I've been thinking a lot about The Odyssey, and I'm still trying to process it. The movie's use of non-linear storytelling is really interesting. It jumps back and forth in time, which can be disorienting at first, but it also adds to the sense of chaos and confusion that Odysseus experiences on his journey home. It's also worth noting that the film doesn't shy away from the more violent and disturbing aspects of the Odyssey, which can be jarring at times. But that's also part of what makes it so compelling. It's not a sanitized or watered-down version of the classic tale. One thing that stood out to me was the way the movie explores the theme of identity. Odysseus is struggling to reconcile his past self with his present self, and that's something that I think a lot of people can relate to. It's not just about a hero's journey, but also about the human experience of feeling lost and uncertain. I also appreciated the way the film uses visual and auditory elements to create a sense of tension and unease. The use of sound design and camera angles is really effective in drawing the viewer into the world of the movie. overall, I think The Odyssey is a thought-provoking and visually stunning film that's definitely worth seeing. Next, fifth, From Family Troubles. Research, references, and selected publications. Here's the quick rundown. This is a living bibliography that pulls together everything Joshua Coleman has put out on family estrangement, therapy culture, trauma narratives, and modern parenting. The core of the evidence comes from a handful of peer-reviewed studies, a 2024 journal article dissecting trauma narratives, a 2022 paper linking attachment security to divorce and estrangement, and a 2026 piece framing estrangement as a systems issue. Around those, you'll find his books from 2008 and 2021, plus a steady stream of articles in The Atlantic, Washington Post, Scientific American, Time, and other outlets. The list is kept current as new work appears. Up next, sixth, From Cup of Joe. What did you do this weekend? So, I was thinking about you and wanted to catch up. A reader asked the Cup of Joe blog to share weekend recaps, and they obliged by sharing their own. The author's honorary niece is spending the summer in New York doing medical research, which is pretty cool. The author's happy to have her around and mentions it in their post. They're inviting readers to share their own weekend recaps in the comments, if anyone's interested. And then, seventh, from Katie Sturino. GLP-1 series, chapter 13, Course Correcting. A few weeks ago, I faced the gnawing feeling I was having about my GLP-1 use and how I think I was actually gaming the system. That was a lot for me to reveal because I had to face my own perceived failure, waste, and shame. I was felt like a failure that I was taking a drug that ultimately helps me address my overeating, but I decided to ride the wave of its effects by overeating on the days when the hunger cues start to come back strong and feeling it will all even Stephen in the end. That is not healing. That is not progress. That is a way around the work. Next, eighth, from Kvella, Natalie Portman. Once asked Anne M. Martin for a Jewish Babysitter's Club character. For some millennial Jewish women, Natalie Portman arrived on the scene as the ultimate aspirational nice Jewish girl. She was proud to be Jewish. She was beautiful. She went to Harvard. She was the mother of Luke and Leia. She was your Jewish summer camp crush's dream girl. A chapter of Mindy Kaling's book, Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me, included a section addressed to her Jewish guy friends that said, I know a small part of you thinks you could have ended up with Natalie Portman if you had played things a little differently. That's nice. You can have that. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.